Hello and welcome to First Friday with Georgetown County. I'm Jackie Broach and this is Holly Richardson, our planning director, and Sarah Sinatra of, you got to remind me of the name of the consulting firm.
Inspire Placemaking Collective.
Inspire is a consulting firm that we have hired to help us on an exciting initiative called a Unified Development Ordinance. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, great. I got it right. So these lovely ladies are here to tell us exactly what that means and what the process is going to look like. Holly?
I'll kick it off. We are working on now implementing some of the goals from the land use element of the county's comprehensive plan that we passed last year. One of the biggest goals from the land use element portion of that plan was to rewrite our zoning ordinance and our land development regulations. Those are current codes that we have in place to regulate how the land is used in the county, landscaping, tree protection, parking, all those type things. Those are the codes that we've had in place for quite some time, and we have now coordinated with Inspire to help us update those codes, to implement some of the policies from the comprehensive plan, and to make it a lot more user-friendly than it is now. The codes have been redone, stitched together, changed throughout the years, but we haven't had a complete overhaul and an update. So that's why we brought Sarah and her team on to help us out with that process.
Okay. Sarah, tell us a little bit about the process. And if I understand this correctly, the comprehensive plan is not law, it's just a guide. The zoning is law, and we're trying to bring the laws in line with the guide. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we use the comprehensive plan, which is really a vision document. And if anybody who participated in that would have seen that there was a lot of large-scale goals, initiatives. And so part of the zoning ordinance component of it, as well as subdivision regulations and just the true unified development ordinance, is to see what portions of the comprehensive plan, particularly in the land use element, can be created into or codified into an ordinance, which turns into law, turns into the regulation. So we use that as a guide, and then go through the process of analyzing portions of the future land use element and say, you know, which components of it can be created into regulation. And we also go through a public engagement process to ask really tailored and specific questions relating to it.
And that engagement process sort of started earlier this week. We had a kickoff meeting, and I think there were probably about 25 to 30 people there. Tell me about how you guys think that went and what you gathered from it that can help you as you begin this process. How is public engagement going to continue as we move forward?
Sure. It was great that we had we felt like a large turnout. When we do these type of processes, we sometimes start with more questions and trying to gauge feedback that way. We took a different approach and we felt like it was really important to listen. So we just laid out kind of the process. We shared the website. We shared how folks can engage with us, but we wanted to listen. So we had some boards set up around the room. We were able to chat with people and gauge what they felt about the comp plan process and what they hope to get out of the Unified Development Ordinance.
Okay. So what's next?
So now we're going into really a deep dive of the comprehensive plan and all documents related to planning, so that we can, in January, I don't have the date yet, but in January, we're expecting to have what we call an open house. So that open house will have a lot of activities set up in a room where folks can come in and we can ask very specific zoning related and subdivision questions. They might be related to landscape. It could be parking. It could be dimensions on lots, things like that, uses. A lot of times when we go through the process, we see that there are really outdated uses. So we begin those conversations with folks. We might have images of what you like, what you don't like. So we can have very, like I said, tailored or specific questions for people, not just large-scale vision. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that set up. We'll also have the same materials available online, so people can interact that way if that is better for them and is an easier platform.
And I think I saw that there was a survey earlier this week at the meeting as well, and people can still access that?
Yes, we launched the website, and it's also available through Georgetown County's website, so you can find it that way.
Check the planning page at gtcounty.org. You'll also be able to see, I think, the presentation that Sarah gave on earlier this week.
That's correct. And all the survey and contact information will be there as well. We'll also be including, when we have more details on the schedule for next events, that'll all be listed on there so people can access it that way.
Okay. This sounds like it's going to be a really big project. How long total did you say this would take?
16 months. We expect it to be 16 months.
Okay, great. Well, is there anything else you guys can think of to add that you'd like people to know?
Just that we would really like to hear the feedback, to interact on the survey. We have some open-ended questions on the survey. It gives an opportunity to provide more information, and we really hope to see people out at the upcoming January open house.
And we will definitely let you know when we have a confirmed date and place and all for that. Ladies, thank you so much. This was great information, and I look forward to seeing how this process develops.
Thanks for giving us the opportunity.
Thank you.
Our next guest is a frequent flyer here. You all should know Brandon Ellis, our emergency services director, who is also, of course, over Georgetown County Emergency Management. So, Brandon, we had a little excitement last weekend just to remind everybody that hurricane season's not over.
Yeah, it's still here. Obviously, we had a lot of activity last week with what started as an area of disturbance and ultimately turned into Tropical Storm Imelda.
I learned a new word, invest.
Invest, yes. That's a term used by the National Hurricane Center. It's when they're investigating an area and they can turn on their products shortly thereafter, hopefully. But it is an area that they're interested in and they want to go take a look at it and start potentially doing some forecasting for us, which makes our job a little easier.
So that one was interesting, and we got real lucky this time. She took a turn away from us, and all we got was some rain, pretty much.
Absolutely. You know, the variation in the forecast, Jackie, between Friday morning and Sunday morning was really 180 degrees, basically. We were looking at a landfalling low-end hurricane or very strong tropical storm. When I went to bed Friday night, and then Sunday morning, we were very fortunate that things had shifted, and Imelda, soon to be Imelda at that point, was forecast to go out to sea, and we were very grateful for that.
And we are very grateful for that. But the point that you made to me earlier this week was that it could have very easily gone the other way.
Absolutely. You know, things were very dynamic with this storm. It very well could have made landfall here, causing, you know, a lot of problems. If you remember, nearly 3 years ago, Hurricane Ian made landfall along the coast here in Georgetown County. And you remember the issues we had there. We had a forecast of storm surge somewhere in the 3 to 4 foot range and ended up having 7 feet of storm surge estimated along Pawleys Island. So those impacts could have welcomed us this week, I guess, on Monday. But we were very thankful that that we were spared again.
And the point that I think we kind of want to make is that that's all stuff that you have to consider when you're making these recommendations and things to the public when these storms approach. You know, it's expected to do this. Right. We'll be lucky if it does that. But right. Just as easily as it turned out, it could have come and had much worse. Well, maybe not this storm, but, you know, storms in general.
Sure. You know, and you know, we make decisions based off the best information we have available. We make recommendations to our county leadership as well as to the state on what actions we should be taking as a coastal community as a unified coast along the coastal portions of South Carolina. And it's based off of impacts. You know, we encourage folks not to focus on the category of storm, you know, whether it's a tropical storm or category one, but focus on the impacts. And this one was very tricky because we did not have official forecast data from the National Hurricane Center until very late in that process. We were having to make some very important decisions or potentially having to make some very important decisions regarding potential evacuations and other measures based off of very limited data and forecast modeling, which we typically don't use forecast modeling as a decision point. We use the official forecast, but the lack of that made this very challenging until I think it was Saturday when we had those forecast data points available to us.
Yeah. But hurricane season lasts another 2 months?
Yeah, we've got roughly 2 months remaining. You know, we're here at the 1st of October now. Hurricane season does not end until November 30th. So we still have time. If you remember, Hurricane Matthew was a mid-October storm. Hurricane Hazel, which a lot of folks don't remember.
But she's in history is one of our biggest ones.
She was a bad girl for us here. And
people who do remember it will never forget.
Right. There was massive destruction along the South Carolina coast with Hazel. There's photographs in the digital library for Georgetown mm-hmm. County Digital Library of houses that were actually moved into the roadway across the marsh, things of that nature. So don't let your guard down yet. There's plenty of hurricane season left, and there's a lot of potential that we could see another storm this season.
So what should people be doing to get ready before, you know, the storm is already on the maps out there?
You know, go ahead and have that emergency plan in place. We preach that, you know, ensure that you communicate that with your family and your friends. Inventory your disaster supply kit. Obviously, you want to make sure you have those items that you need, primarily enough food and water for your family member, each family member for at least 3 to 5 days, and other items as well. You know, comfort items, sustainability items. You know, each person's going to have a slightly different requirement for those items, such as medication and whatnot. It's important to have cash and change because we all know that when the power goes out, ATM machines don't work. So being able to have that cash currency is very important. Know your hurricane evacuation zone. There are three zones in Georgetown County. You can find those on our website. And also identify your evacuation route. If we issue an evacuation for your zone, know your route so you know where you're going and how you're going to get out of harm's way.
Okay. So what else should people know at this point in the hurricane season?
It's still not over. Like I said, we still have 2 months left. So don't let your guard down. Don't get too comfortable. And just be ready to act should another storm threaten our coast this year. We'll do our best to make the best decisions and get the best information out with the information that we have available. And we'll be engaged long before you know we're engaged in a storm, storms tracking and preparedness efforts.
And when we start putting out information, if there is another storm, you can always find that at gtcounty.org. You can also find storm prep information at ready.gov. Is that what you would recommend?
Yep, ready.gov, seemd.org for State Emergency Management Office, and also our website, gtcounty.org/gcemd.
Okay. Brandon, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Fingers crossed for no more storms this season.
We hope. Fingers crossed.
Our next guests are brand new to this podcast, and they are talking about an event that is brand new to the county and the Southern Georgetown Library that we are really excited about. Cherie Drayton, our branch manager for the Southern Georgetown Library.
Hi.
And Ashley Reed. And remind me what your position is, children's librarian?
Children's assistant.
Children's assistant. And they are here to talk about an event that's going to be taking place next Saturday, October the 11th, at the library, and it is Fandom Fest.
Yes.
And we also have a special guest here, Grogu. If you're still calling him Baby Yoda, this event might not be for you. So, guys, tell me a little about Fandom Fest, how it came about, and what we can expect from it.
Fandom Fest was actually Ashley's baby. She came to me about a year ago, and she's like, we need to do a con. And I'm like, a con? Okay. So after about
convention for the uninitiated.
Right, right. But after some time went by, I figured, like, yes, yeah, time to do a con. But we just kind of scaled it down to library size and wanted to celebrate all fandoms, not just anime and cosplaying. We are celebrating all fandoms. So if you're a sport fan and you want to wear your Cowboys jersey or your Eagles hat, bring it. If you are a fan of fishing, come in your fishing gear. If you're a fan of Garfield and you want to come as a cat, come as Garfield. And just celebrate whatever your favorite character or fandom is. And yeah.
So why did you want to do this, Ashley?
Because it's basically the culture. By attending conventions in the past, I was able to meet like people from different walks of life who enjoy the same thing as I did. Also, it afforded me the opportunity to network and be able to bring what I've learned from those conventions here to my hometown of Georgetown. I've seen that. I think the closest one was done in Myrtle Beach a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. After the pandemic, you know, it's like, we need something in Georgetown. And of course, it's because of a lot of people honestly don't have the privilege to attend conventions because of costs, travel, all that stuff. So I think we just want to give them the opportunity to actually enjoy our version of Comic Con by bringing it to our local library here in Georgetown.
And everything is free. Tell me about some of the things that we're going to be doing once we get there in our fan gear.
Okay, well, once you get there, we have different activities lined up, different stations, so you can just go from station to station and enjoy different fandoms. One of the things we have is a Hall of Horror. So what that is celebrating all the horror films, you know, like Halloween and it's Scary Movie and what's another one? Scream. Yeah. So we're going to be celebrating the horror fandoms and along with anime, popular children's fandoms, you know, like Bluey and
Pete the Cat,
you know.
Gabby's Dollhouse. Yeah. My kid's into that one.
Oh, that's a good one. Maybe next year we might can get that in there. But we will try. We're trying to hit all the fandoms and give everybody something to, you know, celebrate everybody's passion and fandoms. We got some trivia questions going on. We got some local students that submitted artwork. So we will have their art and stuff on display. And we have several cosplayers that will be there that day. So, you know, come on out and have fun.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to wear. What are you guys going to wear? What fandoms are you into?
One of my costumes is a Disney villain. So let's see which one.
Yes, I'm going to actually cosplay two characters. So, mm-hmm. Of course, one
at the same time.
Not at the same time. So I think the first part of the day, I'm going to go as the female version of Gojo from JJK, Jujutsu Kaisen. And the second half, I created my own Hashira. I'm going to introduce a new character. And she's the Storm Hashira. As you can see, we're Demon Slayer fans.
We're all over the place.
The Hanafuda earrings, her, mm-hmm. you know, our garments.
Yeah.
I'm representing Tanjiro today. Cherie is representing Gyu Tomioka.
Love He's these ears.
And the ears.
Yeah.
So basically, the Water Hashira.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Demon Slayer is like the top movie right about now. So it's like.
So is this. It sounds like it's family friendly, appropriate for all ages.
It is. It is very much family friendly. Bring your kids, bring the older ones. Whoever wants to come mm-hmm. and celebrate something, there will be food trucks out there. But all the events are free. But, you know, again, the food trucks will. Yeah.
So what kind of reception have you gotten from the community as we've been putting the word out about this? Are people excited?
People are actually excited.
Very excited. And some people are, you know, don't quite understand what's happening. They just know something's happening. But to the people who do understand what a fandom fest or a con is, they are super excited that it's in Georgetown and it's close to home. So
anybody who doesn't know, the Southern Georgetown Library is in the Santee Sand Pit area. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, you guys are the only branch who's ever done something like this. I've never heard of anything like this in Georgetown County before. So I hope that you'll be getting people from like all across the county. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah.
There's something for everybody. I was just talking to mm-hmm. a mom this morning. We were talking about fandoms, different fandoms. Me, hardcore Twilight fan.
I read all the books before they were cool.
Team Edward all the way. Gossip Girls. I love Serena Vanderwoods and the It Girls. So it's just different fandoms, and I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah,
like I love wrestling.
Yeah,
you and my husband would have some things to talk about. Yes.
Probably argue about who's the actual GOAT of wrestling. I think everybody's Rushmore of wrestling differs, so it's.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Marvel, which is probably one of the most common fandoms.
It really is. Marvel is one of those ones that everyone knows. And I didn't touch too much on Marvel just because it's super popular.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of my favorite is Lord of the Rings. So, you know, I got my little the Tolkien elves. And you have to be specific about that. But they're my favorite. So, yeah, one of my costumes is an elf. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. I cannot wait to go and just look at all the costumes. I'm going to have so much fun that day. I'm going to bring my kid and we're just going to have a great time. So I hope that it's going to be really well attended.
Okay.
And I hope that this will end up being the inaugural Fandom Fest.
It is.
So that means there will be more to come.
Yes. Yes, there will be.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, anything else you want to tell people as we get ready for this event?
So with Fandom Fest, it's a lot of people think like they're stuck on the costume, the cosplay, but you can simply come in like a regular t-shirt representing your fandom.
Mm-hmm.
So I just enjoy the cosplaying part because that's part of who I am.
Right.
Who doesn't love getting dressed up?
Yeah.
Right.
Like a therapeutic outlet for me. So that's my cosplaying.
And funny enough, October 10th is National Mental Health Day. So that would be a perfect time to,
do a little self-pampering.
Exactly. And there will also be a costume contest. So nothing major, just, the best of different age groups. Mm-hmm. So, we got little prizes for the winners of those age groups. So,
well, this sounds like so much fun. I can't wait. And I hope to see a lot of people out there on October the 11th. Remind me what the times are again.
From 11 to 5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Family friendly, free, and just come out and have a good time. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That's it for this month's episode of First Friday with Georgetown County. Thank you for joining us. As always, I'd like to share some upcoming events that will take place this month at our county facilities. Georgetown County Council will meet this month on October 14th and 28th at 5:30 p.m. in County Council Chambers at the Historic County Courthouse on Screven Street. The Planning Commission will meet at the same location at 5:30 p.m. on October the 16th. Two county council members will have community meetings in their districts this month. District 6 Representative Stella Mercado will have a drop-in on October the 20th at Waccamaw Regional Recreation Center. Residents can stop by and talk with Council Member Mercado at any time from 11 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. that day. The following day, October 21st, District 7 Council Member Louis Morant will host a community chat at 6 p.m. at the Northwest Regional Recreation Center in Chaffee. A community resource fair will take place October 4th at 11 a.m. at the Southern Georgetown Library. The event will connect people with local organizations that offer valuable services and support for individuals and families. The Georgetown County Sheriff's Office and the City Police Department will participate in the National Night Out with a community festival at East Bay Park from 6 to 8 p.m. on October 7th. Families are welcome to come out to enjoy free food, drinks, and entertainment. On Thursday, October 9th at 10 a.m., Coastal Carolina University's Talking History Series will discuss the French Indochina and the coming of the U.S. war in Vietnam. The program is free and will take place at the Georgetown Library. October 10th is the last day to submit entries for the Office of Voter Registration and Elections' third annual I Voted sticker contest. The design contest is open to students in grades K through 12. Submissions will be accepted until 5 p.m. The top 10 designs will appear on the Georgetown County Voter Registration and Elections Facebook page to be voted on by the public. The top 5 designs will be acknowledged and celebrated at the October 28th County Council meeting. The Georgetown Library's Community Yard Sale is scheduled for October 12th from 8 a.m. to noon at the Judicial Center parking lot. Sellers can reserve a spot for $15 or 2 spots for $20. The Georgetown Library will celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day on October 13th at 3:30 p.m. in the auditorium. The free event is open to all and will include dancing, drumming, storytelling, and historical artifacts presented by Four Holes Indian Organization. The Waccamaw Library's annual Making and Crafting Fair will take place on October 24th and 25th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Vendor registration is open for $25 per table. It's free to attend. There will be learning opportunities, including an introduction to the library's laser machines and a variety of demos, including glasses and tumblers, bookmarks and notebook covers, patches, and much more. On October 28th, the Waccamaw Library will host Low Country Legends, featuring historian Lee Brockington. The program begins at 10 a.m. And finally, the Georgetown Library will have Halloween Jukebox Bingo on October 30th from 2 to 3 p.m. Registration is required. The following day, Halloween, a Hocus Pocus Halloween candy drop-in will take place from 3 to 5 p.m. in the auditorium while supplies last. The event is free and will include face painting, spooky snacks, and fun. Learn more about these events and many more activities that we have scheduled on our website at gtcounty.org. Just check the calendar app. Thanks again for joining us. Join us again in November.